Because it's Thanksgiving, I'm going to read a Thanksgiving psalm. Psalm 138, a psalm of Thanksgiving, but it's not typical. So let's read Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my heart. Pardon me, in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O God, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this psalm of thanksgiving after he had gone through a time of great difficulty. It's possible that he was among the Gentiles at that time, or possibly being pursued by King Saul when this trial came about. This psalm isn't speaking thanks for a harvest from God that God had given, or about any other material things that God had given. It was about the really important things that God and only God could do for him. Only God could take care of David's entire life. Let's read the first half of verse 1 again. It says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Do we praise and thank God with our whole heart? Do we realize that without God, there is no good for our future? Without God, there is nothing of real value ahead of us, nothing of lasting hope. We need to be serious about our worship and praise to God Almighty. God says about himself, in Isaiah 45, verse 5, God says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. Let's sing this, read again, the second half of verse 1. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. Here the word gods is written in all lowercase letters, meaning the gods of this world. In this case, I believe it refers to world leaders. David is ready to proclaim his faith in God to all people, even those in power and of authority. Verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. What does he mean when he says, for you have magnified your word above all your name? Well, I hadn't a clue. So I looked in one of my Bible commentaries, and that made sense to me. God had done a lot more to save David out of the trouble he was in than David thought possible. God had magnified all previous, God had surpassed all previous revelation of himself. When we consider this verse in light of the gospel, then it means God has magnified the Lord Jesus above every other magnification of himself. Because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross at Calvary and his resurrection accomplished what no person on earth could have imagined. In 2 Peter 1, verse 17, Peter says this about Jesus. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that was at the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 3, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. In the same day that David cried out to God for help, God saved him from his trouble. That's what we want every time we have an issue and call out to God, isn't it? We want God's help immediately. We need to learn what David had to learn. God knows all things, and God knows best. We make our petitions to him, and we need to leave them with him. God will work out his will in his time. Verses 4 to 6. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Not all world leaders are praising God yet, but they will one day when Jesus the Messiah reigns over all. But most people on this earth who seek truth with all their heart can find God and his wonderful salvation in Jesus. God's care of David and all those who follow our Lord is a powerful witness to all the kings of this world and to all regular people as well. We need to be ready to tell them. And then it says at the end, but the proud he knows from afar. God knows the proud. He always has, but only from afar because they are far from him. They need to ask what some Greeks asked the apostle Philip in John chapter 12, verse 21. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. What a beautiful picture of the love and care God has for all of us who follow Jesus, our Savior. As we grow closer to him and trust him more and more, we will realize his love and care for us daily. Because Jesus laid down his life for us, we can trust him in all things and let him lead us through every day of our lives. Verse 8, the first part. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. I like that. Isn't that great? The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The Lord will perfect us. He's not done yet. This is the same confidence Paul spoke of in Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The second half of verse 8 says, Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. God's mercy is forever, which means he cannot and will not forsake his works, or us who belong to him, ever. Now that's something to be thankful for. Romans 8, 1 to 4. Romans chapter 8, 1 to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And verses 37 to 39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And finally, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Paul's saying he's not there yet. God's still working on him. I'll repeat that. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.